So that just is a sign of things growing. There's two parts of Africa where people just rely on one head coach, but that just shows what level their game is. But
I want to create solutions which help people.
Be this person I want to be in the future, I have to follow this path.
Seeing their lifestyle, you know, the type of lifestyle that I want.
Africa's bank accounts, paint your dreams.
Welcome to today's episode. Today I'm joined by Nyasha. Nyasha has helped many young athletes realize their dreams. How are you doing, Nyasha?
I'm well. Thanks.
How has your day been like?
Yeah, no, busy, and like you mentioned, working on nurturing the next champion. And that's what we do, and that's what we enjoy doing. So yeah, a good product day.
So Nyasha, can you tell us a bit about yourself, your background, how you grew up, where you went, how you just been living life?
Yeah, so I guess, yeah, like most Zimbabweans, yeah, grew up here, and eventually left for uni, went outside the country to Australia, like what most do. Yeah, so that was a bit about that journey coming from Zim and going outside and learning and experiencing something different, and then coming back to Zim and trying to contribute and help out where we can. I guess in all that journey, what we learned along the way was, you know, if you were better advised, you would have maybe taken some pathways as opposed to others. So yeah, so I was one who enjoyed my sport. Wouldn't say the most talented, but I certainly enjoyed sport. I always used to be very analytical of sport. When I went out there, I realized maybe I'd been advised I could have picked certain sports over others or chosen to go certain locations over other locations. So that was a bit about that. Then coming back to Zim, two other friends who had been on similar journeys started up a business doing that, and they asked me to be part of it to help nurture the next champions and help them to be better athletes and make better choices and become professionals one day. So I'm glad to say that we've seen some come through and become professionals, and those who didn't enjoy their sport and play it to the best level they can, or gain some bursary of some sort for their sporting abilities, or made a good network, enter the a new environment if it wasn't for sport. So that's been a bit about my journey with sport.
It's a lovely background. I like the way you said that you went out there, you always enjoyed sport. You may not have been the best, but it was something that was always with you, and you just thought about giving back to the community. And when you came back to Zim, people offered you a chance to help give back to the community in the way that's possible. So I think we would want to get more into detail with Cairo Sports. When did the idea start? When did getting things in order, eventually launching the program, having a lot of people coming now, did that whole entire process of Cairo Sports come to be?
Yeah, I think what our founder, Kisa Chirende, top guy, legend of not just rugby, but of sport in general. I think when he was coming up playing sport, and he then eventually ended up in the UK playing some good, unfortunately had an injury. And that injury put him on the bedside for a while, and with a bit more time on his hands, you know, he came up with this concept and started it as some hobby to keep his mind in check while going through that process of a long-term injury. And he kept building. So I think as he grew, and he was developing that, and, you know, then roped myself in as well. And Ricky, who was based in South Africa at the time, his younger brother to come on board and help him build that vision he had. So it's been an awesome journey of building it. And yeah, we've gradually grown and learned how best to help the next talent coming through. So so I guess most people know us as people who keep people updated with sporting results on social media. So that's one aspect we do, but there's many other aspects of it. Where, you know, like you said, helping the next talent access the next opportunity, which will help them further their careers or endeavors in the sport they enjoy. But as well, we tend to get a lot of corporates who want to get involved in sports. So on how best to and we guide them through that process. But as well, doing a lot of analytical stuff for teams, analyzing sports and giving feedback to coaches and players so that they can perform better. So we're into that performance side. And yeah, it's something we then do during the holidays. We host a lot of holiday camps for various sports, but predominantly rugby, to just help the next set of champions coming through. So that's sort of about that journey. Yeah.
That's a lovely story. That's a lovely journey you guys are on. And I see that the vision is being clear. You guys know what you want to do. You're always just there trying to keep everyone up to date. Like you said, the results of sports. You're always trying to build community. I always see on your post, you're always pushing, especially in terms of rugby, for all the newer schools to just jump in, get their rugby teams up so you can grow as a sport. So on the same topic of, you know, building the next champions, what do you see? What do you count as a great player? What do you look in when you're like, you know, of course, players, they are good players, they are great players, they're legendary players. We've got so many players that have come through Cairo Sports and gone. But as you, with your years of experience doing this, when can you tell that this kid right there has got the potential to be something great? What traits do you see that make someone to become a great player, that those young kids also want to do sports to fall in? What type of traits are they supposed to have that can take them far?
I think the traits is, first of all, the mindset. You can tell a lot of players' attitude by the way they conduct themselves on the field. So, yeah, it's true. Not always the one who's scoring the tries or that who we feel can go to the next level. So we're looking for mindset. You know, what do they do when the team is down? You know, do they shout at their mates? Do they take ownership? Do they take the game I think the last dance gave us a bit of insight to Michael Jordan there. I think those sort of personality traits of someone who's willing to sacrifice all they can to get the team over. Again, there's a lot of it is also has to do with, unfortunately, genetics. Genetics play a big part in a person's success in a particular sport. I think Zimbabwe is to have the right mix to produce a great rugby player. We grow enough to be good rugby players and big enough to be physical. We intend enough to understand the game and to read the game well. So that mix plays a part. So yeah, we always look at the player we're choosing. If he's playing as lock and we think he's going to be a lock, we look over to the parents and we look he'll grow that tall to be a lock, or he needs to start playing another position now and start learning a position which is more realistic that fits his body type or profile. So yeah, those are some of the things we look at. We do certain skill tests, hand coordination tests, speed tests, and we gauge not just what they're doing now, but the potential. There's a bit of that. But like I said, the first thing is the mindset. The mindset determines a lot. Again, talking about mindset, I think we've all heard those stories of Richie McCaw, the All-Black captain, on what sort of mindset he had. Very willing to sacrifice himself for the team, betterment of the team, and not give up. Those are the key things we look at. Then the last few things, we all kind of then look at, which is what most people see, is the physical part, how strong someone is, how physical they are, or, you know, are they strong enough, are they fast enough, do they have the right footwork? And footwork is, can they step on both set of feet? Can they pass with both hands? Can they hand off, change the ball, set of hands while they're handing off someone? Are they reading the defensive lines well? How well they're attacking the ball, and all of those other aspects of the game, which can be a bit more obvious than others. At the end of the day, like I said, it's all about hard work. So if someone puts in the work, most things are attainable once you put in the work.
That's a lot of things to take to account. Of course, there's something, one of the main takeaways is like genetics. There's so much we can do with genetics. It's not something we can change hard, but the other things like mindset, skills, and all the things that they can be trained and honed and sharpened to make a player great. Then in terms of you, you especially said Cairo Sports is mostly predominant in rugby stuff. In terms of rugby in Zimbabwe, it seems like it is becoming the new thing. It seems like a lot of Zimbabwe, like I said, the boys who are growing up in Zimbabwe are becoming sensational players. They're getting people following them. I see that club rugby in Zimbabwe, it's actually becoming something which is a go-to. You see weekends and their games, there are a lot of fans there and all that stuff. And also got our under 20 boys who are going to the World Cup, who are doing phenomenal stuff, and they're pushing the levels of rugby. We've got our Gold Sharks in Zimbabwe also doing so many things. So for you, with your knowledge and your experience, what is the future of rugby in Zimbabwe and totally in Africa? I look at in Africa, also got South Africa, we've got our Namibias, we've got our Kenyas, we've got our Moroccos. But in terms of having Africa to be the next, those, put it as on a nation like other countries, where is Africa as a whole, what are some steps do you think that, how can each African country help each other improve to become a force to be reckoned with? What can you say about those things, that advancements we can do to get there?
Certainly in how the game can grow, I think the game has been growing quite a lot, and it's spreading across the continent a lot more. And as the game grows across the continent, that's what makes it harder for Zimbabwe to qualify for World Cup or that sort of thing, because like there are more teams trying to get there, right? So the competition is good in terms of spreading the game and growing it. But one of the key things in growth is that the more things change, the more things remain the same. In that sense that how the game has grown. Yeah, so I was saying that when Zimbabwe was successful back in the days with good junior programs, with a vibrant club scene, and most of our top players were playing locally. So I think those things which have been successful back then make it successful now. And if you add that to some of the global trends anywhere across the world, is that the foundation needs to be strong. So our schools need to be playing regular rugby, which is happening, but can increase again with more getting involved. And I think since in the last couple of years it's been growing a bit more in terms of interest and schools making plans and games and nice on without relying on the union or sponsors. So I was just saying, as things go, people find their little space and people that specialize in, which then helps in people focusing. So as you can see now, the number of referees are increasing in The number of coaches, you know, some coaches are now being sold as forwards, backs, or kicking coach, scrum coach. So that just is a sign of things growing. There's still parts of Africa where people just rely on one head coach. But that just shows what level of their game is. But as they grow, people stylize a lot more. Players start going to people for more help. Corporates start jumping on board. So the game, that's how the game then grows, is when all stars are and money start flowing. Players start getting more. And that's so, which is maybe at a stage where our game is starting to get now. I see some of the Gorshuk guys, they get some match fee, significant, but it's something better than what it was, you know, 5-7 years ago. So that shows progress. So I think those are the key things. And yeah, continually having those internal tournaments in Africa, I think, which is something Africa has been doing well. There's always room to grow. Funds permitting, I'm sure things can happen at a faster rate. And I think in the next 3 to 5 years, we'll start seeing TV rights issues starting to come up, and people starting to give that, you know, people trying to take preference on which channel the game is going to be, which will then bring in the topic of revenue, which is where most codes get their money from TV rights. So I think it's a journey. Obviously everyone wants to see things happen sooner rather than later, but it's a journey. And I think Zim is on the journey. And I'm sure we'll start seeing more success right now. And as you've seen in the past, a lot of the good guys end up going elsewhere, for opportunities, which is okay and good. But we'll get to a stage where we're producing so many players that some, you know, not everyone can go out, and people start remaining in here and start playing good quality here. And that's when we'll see performance in the national team jersey. Similarly to how every other country, which is regarded as a rugby powerhouse, you look at South Africa, you know, they lose, you know, in the hundreds of players every year to other parts of the world. But that's such the depth. Same with New Zealand, you know. I think it was maybe a World Cup last or the one before where New Zealand had 10 or so coaches coaching other countries. Such is their depth that they've not just now started exporting players, that they're now exporting coaches. So I'm sure Zim and other countries in Africa will eventually get to that stage where it's not just the players people are looking for, they are looking for the coaches.
That's lovely. That's lovely. I like where you said a lot of things, that the potential is there. People, systems are getting in place that benefit the players also. Of course, players always want to go to the upper leagues where maybe the funding is better. Like you said, New Zealand, South Africa also losing major players to, I think, France 24 or the top 14 or the other leagues. But as time goes, and especially systems start getting into place, things, players might start staying home more and playing for club rugby, so that we don't get left behind with this. I feel like in Africa, a lot of parents don't see sports as a alternative to success. I think I've seen a lot of people growing up where you could see this kid was so talented, but you know, the parents like, no, I don't want my son or daughter to do sports. She should, to the extent where they actually write letters to school, like, no, my child is supposed to be off sports. What can we do to change the narrative so that more and more parents are open-minded to the situation that, that yes, sports, there's an alternative. Of course, it's a life balance situation. You have to also keep the academics in order. But how do we get parents to be more on board with the issue of sports?
I think it's just the education on that area and the reason why. I think it's showing that sport is part of learning, is learning. You won't succeed in academics without sport. Well, and playing sport is a way of improving performance in academics. The two are correlated. You will find that the best sporting team in the world and the best league in the world, they are not looking for the player who is struggling academically either. You know, they are looking for the smartest. You know, it's like in every sector in the world, they're looking for the smartest person there. But what is the question, you know? How does sport improve academics? And maybe to share with some of the people who might be listening, you know, there are drills you can do, you know, when agility drills, shifting from left to right and being able to do things with both left and right leg, left hand and right hand. You then find that there's something that goes on into the brain where the airwaves in the brain are opened up. And once something is opened up in the brain, it then applies to everywhere else in life. If we work on reaction drills, how quickly you react to catching the ball or seeing the ball, that also improves alertness as well. So yeah, as much as there is clear benefits of just being in the classroom, there is some of these benefits which come from being on the sporting field, which is not spoken much. I mean, some of the stuff we've spoken about, when most people say the benefit of sport, they talk about the being physically fit and team sport, you know, how to communicate with others and how to be a team player, which all take a big part in the workplace. So you find that a lot of pro athletes or athletes played a lot of sport at a high level, they don't really struggle as much transitioning to the corporate world as much because they've got those teamwork skills. Even if they lack some technical areas in a certain field or a certain industry, they make up for it with teamwork, enthusiasm, collaborating, and that. So there's a lot of benefits. So it's helping the schools know this so that they can get their parents and that on the benefits of sport. It's not just by coincidence that NBA tries or insists that players go through college basketball first. And by that, it's saying go and get your tertiary degree and then you'll be ready for the NBA. It's because some of those playbooks for the team are complex. In fact, almost all of them are. Same with NFL. They've got these huge, thick books which players have to read and study and understand team plays and all of that. And rugby is in the same way. Rugby, almost at every professional club, insist all the junior players are doing some sort of tertiary education. It's not just to look after the players' long-term prospects after playing sport, saying, look, we actually want someone who's switched on and knows what they're doing. So the two go in hand. And I would encourage all parents to take that on board and encourage schools to share those sort of information with parents and stick to their principles on their school policies. If it's a must in the school to play sport, then it should apply to all. You don't get it that the way around, that a child or parent doesn't want their kid to do accounting or chemistry in Form 1, so they say, no, my child is not going to do these subjects, or the child is not going to do maths. They're only going to do these subjects. So as much as enforce those rules, they need to enforce all school rules, which include cultural aspects as well.
Thank you for those wise words. I think they really put it into perspective of what is really necessary and what needs to be done. Sport is just another side of the same coin, where as much as education is important, sport is also important in terms of keeping us healthy, keeping our minds fresh and all of that stuff, which people undermine, but it is very important. So we come to asking the question, like, what can we expect from Cairo Sports moving on? What are your future plans? How do you plan to just know what's just happening in the future for you guys? What's in the books?
Yeah, I think we'll continue spreading across. I think we'll definitely continue coming up with innovative aspects in terms of sport, rugby, all other sports. I think we'll leading the way in that. I think we're already global leaders in that aspect. There's no other schoolboy rugby which is covered or analyzed to that much detail like our own schoolboy. You go to England, New Zealand, Ireland, it's not at the same par. South Africa, yes, there's a lot more live streaming, but I think here in Zim we'll go into a bit more depth and detail. So I think in that space we'll continue leading the way in innovation, helping more talent. I think we've through the network we've built, we'll be able to help more athletes reach higher levels of sport. Already we've got two young players playing in France at the highest, which is one of the highest leagues in the world in terms of rugby. So yeah, we'll be helping more and doing more good, and hopefully that will then eventually reflect in our national teams.
Thank you, Yasha, for that information. We'll continue to support. We continue to push the message that sports is important. Sports is a way of life. Sports can help people get to financial freedom. So, can you just give us your social medias where people can find Cairo Sports, how people can engage with with you guys, and maybe some young kids just want to follow the footsteps. How can they find you and how can they connect?
Yeah, so I think we're on all social media handles, and our name is Cairo Sports, so it's KYROS, then Sports, Sports. So, yeah, on all platforms we are there, and yeah, reach out to us. If we can help, we definitely will push someone onto the next opportunity.
Thank you, Yasha, for your time. Thank you for spending this time with us to tell more about Cairo Sports, sports and sports in Africa and how we can improve. It was very insightful. A lot of people are going to learn something. A lot of people are going to get their eyes open to the possibilities. So once again, thank you, Yasha. We wish you the best in your team.
All right, thanks for having me, and yeah, continue the good work.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Make sure to subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to. Also, make sure to follow us on Instagram, Africa's Blank Canvas Podcast, so you're always up to date with the latest news. Don't forget to share. That's the only way we grow.